If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 83, there's a verse there mentioning the children of Lot that I would like to use as the basis of our lesson this morning. As you're turning to Psalm chapter 83, we're going to read verse 8. I want us to consider the importance of raising our children properly so that they can grow up and serve the Lord and be faithful. But even this morning, if there are those of us who do not have children, we can learn some important lessons from Lot and his family on how to live properly in the sight of God, and some things that we need to avoid so that we don't find ourselves being taken down the path of immorality. In Psalm 83, the psalmist writes about how that he wants God to help them with their enemies, different enemies that are coming against the nation of Israel. And he wants help from God to destroy these enemies and put them down and take them away. And so the whole psalm is imploring God, asking God to confound or put down the Israel's enemies. And we come down to verse 6. In verses 1 through 5, some of the things that these enemies are doing are mentioned there. They're speaking against God and Israel and so forth. And they want to destroy Israel. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation and so forth. And in verses 6 through 8, we have a list of some of these enemies. The psalmist says in Psalm 83, verse 6, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites and Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. I want us to consider that statement there, the children of Lot. Who are the children of Lot? Well, we're going to turn back in just a moment to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. And we know that Lot had two daughters. But the children of Lot here are mentioned back in verses 6 and 7. That would be Moab and Ammon. When Lot and his two daughters had a sexual relationship together in Genesis 19, the descendants from those two daughters and Lot became known as the Moabites and the Ammonites. And so here they're described as the children of Lot, the descendants of Lot. In other words, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Well, how did we get the Moabites and the Ammonites? Well, it came because of a sexual relationship between Lot and his two daughters. And I got to thinking about that recently, about how important it is to raise our children properly. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. They're not just simply some biological, physical thing that happens between a husband and a wife, just some physical thing, and that's all it is. When we have a child, that is something that the Lord gives us. In fact, Scripture tells us in the book of Zechariah, also in Hebrews chapter 12, about verse 7, that the Lord gives the Spirit to each individual. I believe the man and the woman provide the physical body of a child, but the Lord gives the Spirit. And so that's very important. It's not just some physical, biological thing. It's something, a beautiful thing, a child, and it's God's heritage, it's God's gift. And the training of children then becomes very important and necessary. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a very important responsibility and gift that has been given to us by God. It is a heritage. We are stewards. Parents are stewards of the children that God gives us. So that's a very important thing. And we're going to be held accountable in the judgment day on how we raise our children, good or bad. And so the training of them, the upbringing of them, is extremely important. And in our scripture reading then, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we are to nurture or bring up a child in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, the way the Lord wants him taught and warned and cared for. But these children of Lot, how did we get them? Where did they come from? And that's the basis of our sermon this morning. Three times in Scripture we read about the children of Lot. Deuteronomy 2:9, Deuteronomy 2:19, and then in our Scripture reading this morning, Psalm 83, verse 8. What can we learn from the children of Lot? We're talking about two nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites, that came about from a sexual relationship between a father and two daughters. Now you stop and think about that a minute. How immoral that is. How can we get to the point of where we have a father and two daughters coming together in a sexual relationship and giving birth to Moab and Ammon that become later known as the children of Lot? Well, these two daughters are nameless. We don't know their names, but they're also shameless. It was a very ungodly act that they did. In fact, what we would call incest, an incestuous relationship, it is spelled out later in the Law of Moses as being that which is improper, that is not to be done. How do we get to the point where you have a father in a cave, drunk, committing sexual immorality with his own daughters? How can you slump to that low? That's our lesson this morning. We're going to look at seven things that lead up to that. Seven points, seven principles that lead to that point. And I want us to consider those in our life this morning so that we don't find ourselves one day waking up realizing that we're really far off track and we are not the moral beings that we need to be. What can we do to avoid that? And these principles that we're looking at this morning, and we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. If you'll turn back now to Genesis chapter 13, we're going to look at some principles. And you're going to notice this morning that it applies to us whether we have children or not. These are principles, these are lessons that we need to put in our life, whether we have children or not. Now, those of us this morning with children, we certainly need to pay attention. We need to raise them in the right way. But whether we have children or not, these things are important so that we don't find ourselves one day off track and not living right with God. What led up to this situation? How do we get to a point where you have a father committing sexual act with his own two daughters? We would say that's terrible. How could you get to that point? I would never do that. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves doing things that we say, well, we would never do that. How do we get to that point? Well, number one, I would suggest to you this morning that we get to that point when we have parents who make poor choices and decisions in life. When you make poor choices and decisions for yourself and for your children, there's going to be some problems down the road. Notice in Genesis chapter 13, we find that when Lot was choosing where to go, he had a large amount of flocks, and Abraham had a large amount of flocks. And there's too many flocks to eat on the grass of the land. They're eating it all up. You've got to spread out. You've got to get more pasture. Okay? When they make the decision to do that, what does Lot choose? He made a choice. And he made a choice not just for his flocks, but it impacted his family. When we make choices about work and about money and income and employment and schooling and where we're going to live, those type of choices impact the spirituality of our family. This is not just a choice about where my flock's going to graze. It impacted his family. And so the choices that we make impact our family, good or bad. And so we find in Genesis chapter 13, verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, you see. Verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. So Lot chose. He's making a choice. But what's he choosing? He's choosing the well watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's a wicked city. He's making a choice that's going to impact these two daughters spiritually and morally. And so we have to be very careful about that kind of thing. So he journeys there. Verse 11, Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom. I want to move into town. I don't want to be like Abraham, who's out here in these dusty, dirty tents. I want to move into town. I want an urban environment. I want to go where there's the money and where there's nice things, you see. And he made a choice, but that choice, in part, led his daughters to become immoral. We are making choices right now, brethren, in our lives, and it's impacting us spiritually. Well, this kind of job, I want this job, but does it take me away from church services? I can make more money. I can work overtime. I can do this. I can do that. I want to move to this area. Now, I know there's not a faithful church there, but I've always wanted to move to this area and take my family. It's a pretty place to live, you see. We're making choices, but often we're making the poor choices, and it's impacting us spiritually, and we become weaker down the road. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, "What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul?" So Lot moves into town. He's got a great place to live, but he loses his daughters over it. What does it profit if you're going to lose your soul? What does it matter if you get that better job? If you move into that bigger house? If you move to a city that you've always wanted to live in? But yeah, that's true. We're not really worshiping with faithful brethren, but I've always got the place that I wanted to be. What does it matter if you're going to lose your soul in hell in the end? And so we're making choices. What choices are you and your husband and you and your wife making? Are they helping your children or hindering your children? We've got to think about that. We say, well, how do we end up? How do we end up with a father having a sexual relationship with his own two daughters? That could never be. Yes, it can if you start down this road that we're studying this morning. And it begins by making poor choices. Let us only make those choices in life that are going to make us stronger in the Lord, going to make us more faithful as Christians. But then we find something else when we go through the text. We find that not only did Lot and his wife and family make poor choices, but we find that they made a choice on purpose to live in a wicked environment. Look at the very next verse. I left off verse 13 on purpose to let that be our next point. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Jehovah exceedingly. Oh, I want the well-watered plain. I want the place that looks like the Garden of Eden. I want the place that looks like Egypt as you go down to Zoar. All that beautiful greenery. I don't want this dry, dusty, dirty Palestine. I want the green place. Okay, fine. You're going to get that, but you're also going to get something else. You're going to get a wicked environment. Do you know that each time the word Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned in the Scripture, each time without exception, it's always mentioned in a negative light? Check that sometime. Go get your Bible concordance. Look up the word Sodom. Look up Sodom and Gomorrah. It's used always in a negative light. The only positive time it's mentioned is when Jesus says it's more tolerable for those of Sodom and Gomorrah than for those in Bethsaida and Chorazin, where they did not believe in Jesus. Every time it's mentioned, it's always mentioned, especially in the Old Testament, in a negative light. The men were wicked there. Turn to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, when God says He wants to destroy Sodom, and Abraham prays for them. And Jehovah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I have put my family in the midst of a sinful environment. And it should be no surprise that they become immoral down the road. Brethren, we need to be very careful about ourselves and our family. The music that we're listening to, the TV programs that we're watching, the friends that we're hanging around. Oh, I would never have a sexual relationship with my own two daughters. I would never do that. Well, you just might if you're in an environment that slowly wears down your morals and your scruples. And it did with Lot and his family. We're talking about the children of Lot. How did we get the children of Lot? By poor choices. And number two, by a very wicked environment. Look at Deuteronomy 29:23, Isaiah 3:9, Jeremiah 23:14, and these other passages. Sodom and Gomorrah are always mentioned in a negative light. And so we come to Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, and we find that there are two angels that come to Lot. They come in the form of men, and they come to Lot, and they want to get Lot and his family out, and they warn them about the coming destruction. And when the other men see these angels who have come in the form of a man, they see that, well, we can have a homosexual relationship with them. So let's go down and tear down the door of Lot and try to get these men that we may know them. Another way of saying have a sexual relationship with them. It was a terrible place. Why do we have the English words sodomite and sodomy? Why do we have sodomy laws? It's named after Sodom. Why would we want to put our family in that environment? Oh, so that we can feed our flocks. Well, look at what you're going to get as a result of that. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. In describing Sodom and Gomorrah, the inspired writer Peter describes it in a very negative way. It's always that way in Scripture. And Lot chose to put his family, by choice, into a wicked environment. Sometimes we don't choose things that happen around us that are wicked. You could be in a situation and you don't choose that somebody came up and said a bad word. You don't choose sometimes. You could be driving down the highway and there's a billboard and it has a picture up there where somebody is immodest. You didn't choose that. You didn't ask for that. But there are a lot of things we do choose and we do invite into our home and we do put our children around, and that's what we're going to be held accountable for. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow. That's the fire and the brimstone, the destruction. They were overthrown, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly. This is an example of ungodly people being judged by God. And it's supposed to be an example to other ungodly people that they are going to get the same kind of judgment. Look at Jude 7. It describes the sin of those men as strange flesh and fornication. Jude 7. And by the way, if you're ever having a discussion with someone about homosexuality, people that liberals today say that, well, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, that was just the sin of being inhospitable. They weren't hospitable. Because they're, you know, knocking on the door and trying to hurt Lot and his family and all of that. They weren't very hospitable. No, the sin of the men was fornication. It was homosexuality. And it's a specific kind of fornication. They gave themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh. So it's not just fornication, illicit sexual behavior, but sexual behavior that is strange flesh, that is men with men. So, how do we get to this point of the children of Lot? Where did the children of Lot come from? They came from poor choices, number one. Parents making poor choices earlier in life. The choices that we are making now impacts us down the road. Number two, by raising our family in a wicked environment. Well, I don't care who I marry. I don't care the kind of music I listen to, the kind of movies I watch, the TV, the other kinds of things. I don't care. Yeah, my teenage kids are out with their friends. I don't know what they're doing. I didn't ask. And, you know, that type of thing. Well, be prepared for a problem later on. They're on their phone. I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know what they're texting. I don't know what they're looking at. That's not really my business. They're in their room. The door is shut. I don't know what's going on. You know, how can you know? And you'll hear parents talk like that sometimes. You'll see these programs where they come on, Dr. Phil and others, and they're sitting, you know, he's up in his room all day and I don't know what he's doing. Well, shame on you as a parent for not knowing. And we're putting them in a wicked environment by choice, and then we wonder why later, wringing our hands like, well, I just don't know what went wrong. Well, what went wrong was we were a part of that. And so 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. I think when Lot I think when Lot and his family went down in there on day one, I think that they were good, strong, God-believing, like Abraham, people. But that town slowly wore on them. Till you get to the point where, hey, if I hear about men having sex with men all the time in my town, and I've grown up in a town like that, it's really not a big stretch to have that relationship with my own father, right? I've just been around it all my life. Sexual immorality. What's the big deal if it's my own father? You see, the environment can wear on you and weigh on you to where you just slowly break down your morals. And that's what's happening in our country. We have to be very careful about the nation that we live in. It's slowly wearing down people. And I believe that includes some Christians if they're not careful. Number three, how did we get the children of Lot? We got the children of Lot because they had a father who did not show them respect. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 19 when the men come to Lot's door and they want to have a sexual relationship with these men, these angels who have come to them? And Lot says, no, don't do that. We're not going to do that. And Lot says, I've got two daughters. Here, throw them out in the street. Take them. Verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Do you to them as good in your eyes? There was no good in their eyes. But that's another way of saying, do with them what you want, whatever y'all want. Only unto these men do nothing, for as much as they are come under the shadow of my roof. Don't have a sexual relationship with these two men, but here are my two daughters, rape them. Like the woman who was raped at the end of the book of Judges. The Bible does not gloss over sin. The Bible does not try to whitewash sin. Like the woman who was raped at the end of the book of Judges, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. Leaves her half dead there on the doorstep. Can you imagine what's going on in a young woman's mind? I don't know how old these girls were. They were obviously of sexual reproduction age. But they're going, Dad, wait a minute. Wait, come on now. You're going to throw me out in the street to these men? Think about what's going on in their mind. I have a father who doesn't respect me. I have a father who doesn't treat me as someone who's made in the image of God. We need to show respect, not just for our family members, but for others. And so Ephesians 6, verse 4, we are to raise our children, bring them up, nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. The way the Lord would want them to live. And this is not the way the Lord wants somebody to live. And turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. We are not to provoke our children to wrath. We're not to say and do things to them to belittle them and bemean them and show them of little value. They are made in the image of God. Fathers, provoke not your children that they be not discouraged. That's not talking about don't ever spank them and don't ever set down some firm rules. It's talking about provoking them by saying and doing things that are improper. People today, turn with me to James chapter 3. People today say things to other people as if they were just some object. Children are not an object to be thrown out in the street and abused and used for some men's pleasure. We're not an object. We're made in the image of God, and we need to remember that. So when we speak about other people and when we treat them, we need to treat them the right way. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And verse 9, therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith we curse men who are made after the likeness of God. One wrong thing about cursing other people is they're made in the image and likeness of God, and they're not to be treated that way. We're not an object. We're not a thing. And that's the problem with evolution. Naturalistic evolution has taught us from the school books onward that we're just animals, you know, kind of like highly evolved animals or things. No, we're not. And so we don't need to treat each other that way. That's the problem with murder. You're taking the life of someone who's made in the image of God. That's the problem with cursing someone. You're belittling someone that's made in the image of God. And we don't just toss people out as things and objects. But these daughters saw that and realized that, I believe. And so later, well, you know, if I'm just nothing, then I'm nothing. And so I'm going to have a sexual relationship with my father. He doesn't respect me anyway. Why should I respect him? You see, it lowers your values. It lowers your character. It lowers your morals to where you think, well, I can just do whatever. How did we get the children of Lot? They married men who mocked God's word. There came a time when they married. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. The problem was they married men that had no respect for Lot, their father-in-law, or the warning to get out of town. We need to be very careful who we marry. We need to marry those who are going to help us to get to heaven. We need to marry those who have respect for the Word of God, who are going to worship God, who are going to obey the gospel, who are going to take God's Word seriously. Do you remember when it came time for Lot and his family to leave? Let's pick up the reading in Genesis 19 and verse 12. And the men, these angels, said unto Lot, "Hast thou there any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whomsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before Jehovah." God hears the sinful environment that we're in and He takes notice of that. And He does that with America right now and any other nation. He's not up in heaven just oblivious to what's going on. He's taking account of the sinful things going on in this nation and will hold this nation accountable. So He says to these, get whoever you can. Look at verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for Jehovah will destroy the city." But he seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. Oh, no, nothing's going to happen. We've got sons-in-law that don't care about this divine warning. Who we marry can cause us, listen carefully, to lower our morals. Turn with me to 1 Kings 11, verse 3. Was there a time when Solomon was faithful? Absolutely. Was there a time when Solomon was doing what God said? Absolutely. What brought down his morality? His wives. His wives. Who you marry can slowly bring you down. And you say, "Oh, I would never let that happen to me." And she's made promises that she would never bring me down. And he's made promises that he would never bring me down. But good intentions go by the wayside after you've been married a few years. And all of a sudden now, to make your spouse happy, and you do that in marriage, to make your spouse happy, you start to say, "Well, I'm going to back off on this and back off on that. And I won't do this and I won't do that." And you find yourself, 1 Kings 11, verse 3, "And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." Underscore that. My heart is no longer single toward God and serving God. I've been turned away. How? By my wives. You get up every day, and what do you have to do? "Well, I got to make them happy." "Well, there are all these idolatrous wives." "Well, honey, I used to say that God was the only true God, but I guess not, and I guess other gods are as equal, and I used to worship the one and true God, but now I'll go over where you want to worship the Ashtaroth and the Baal. We'll do that later on today because I want to make you happy." His heart is turned away. And you can read some of his writings in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs where he talks about serving God. But in time, his heart got turned away. We know about Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21, how wicked Ahab and Jezebel were. In 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25, "But there was none likened unto Ahab, who did sell himself to do that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." Your spouse is stirring you up to do what is wrong. And so we have these daughters of Lot who have married these sons-in-law who don't care anything about getting out of town. Oh, yeah, Lot, you're funny. You're a real joker. We're going to have fire and brimstone rain down on us. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. And they don't get out. And they're lost. Be careful who you marry. Not only is it a lifelong commitment, that's one point that we make, it's also a commitment that you're either committing to someone who's going to raise you up and make you a stronger Christian or slowly wear you down. It is very difficult. I know of individuals who have married non-Christians and they've been faithful all the way to the end, but it's very difficult. I've also known of Christians who have married non-Christians and they became unfaithful in time. I've also known, and I know right now of someone in this area who was a member of the church and attended a Church of Christ his entire life until later in life his first wife passed away because of an illness, and he remarried a Baptist and now is no longer in the church but is a faithful deacon in the Baptist church. I can list that for you right now. So be very careful. What happens is you want to make your spouse happy. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7. You do the things that want to please your spouse. The problem is if you've married a spouse that is not living right, then to please them, you're going to end up doing things that aren't right. You got to be very careful about that. So these girls, in time, Lot's daughters marry some men who aren't godly. And it shouldn't be strange to us to find later that they're not acting right themselves. Some believe that this might be some other daughters of Lot. Okay, not the two that ended up with him later in the chapter. Even if that is the case, you've got two daughters who see their sisters marry some men. Either way. The point is, these men, these sons-in-law, are not right. And it cannot help the family situation to have that influence in your life. How did we get the children of Lot? Because they had a parent, their mother, was disobedient to God's word. Hey, if mom doesn't have to listen to God's word, then my moral standard doesn't have to be that high. You remember the story then, turning back to Genesis 19, how they're told, and it's very plain, the angels make it very plain, there's no misunderstanding here. Look at verse 17, Genesis 19, 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Is that hard to understand? No, a very clear command. Later, Lot's wife looks back. Verse 26, they leave, they partially follow God's word. That's another lesson. You can partially follow God's word, but the part you don't can still condemn you. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. This is the very thing that Jesus says in Luke 17:32. It's the second to the shortest verse in the Bible. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus wept is the shortest. This is the second shortest. Remember Lot's wife. Well, those daughters saw that. My mom disobeyed God's word. We as parents have to obey everything in front of our children because they're watching, they're listening. And they see us disobey, it's going to give them the pass to disobey later. Well, mom did it, dad did it. And so Paul talks about in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, those who have a form of godliness, but they are disobedient. And so let's not just appear on the outside to be a Christian and religious and church going and that type of thing. But from time to time, we disobey God and our family sees that. But let us be wholly faithful. They profess that they know God. And I believe Lot and his family would have professed that they know God. But by their works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. Ask Lot's wife, do you know God? Yes, I know God. but she was disobedient. And that's the part that the children see. How do we get the children of Lot? They had a parent who was disobedient just one time. But that's enough to affect us, and we have to be very careful about that kind of thing. Let us be faithful in all things. Let us marry individuals who will bring us closer to heaven. Let us have, as a parent, let us show respect for each family member. We're all made in the image of God. And then as we come down toward the close of our lesson, they had a father, they had a parent who was righteous at one time, but stopped being righteous when he got in that cave. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, and let's remind ourselves about Lot. There was something about Lot that is actually commended in the New Testament, and that is he's described as a righteous man. I believe Lot went into town a righteous man, but it slowly wore him down. And Peter describes him as a righteous man and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Three times, Peter says, he's righteous. Well, if he's a righteous man, how does he end up in a cave having a sexual relationship with two daughters? You lower your morality. You stop being the righteous person that you need to be. So I put some passages up here to remind us as Christians that if we're not careful, we can fall down the road. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. 1 Timothy 4, 1, in the latter days some shall fall away from the faith. Oh, I'm a strong Christian. That's great, but we always have to keep our guard up each day. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, we can fall by the same example of disobedience. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge so that we don't fall from our own steadfastness in being deceived by those who are wicked around us. Lot was a righteous man. Peter clearly says that. But he allows himself to stop being righteous on that occasion when he had a relationship with his two daughters. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There might come down that road, that time when the devil will tempt us, when our guard is not up. And all of the righteousness that we have been able to show through our life, that godly character, is just gone in a moment because we're not guarding ourselves and watching ourselves. And so the importance this morning of constantly being on guard and carrying that righteous character all the way through to the end. What a shame. The last thing recorded of Lot is a very negative thing. All that good is undone right at the very end. And then that brings me to my last point then. How do we get the children of Lot? Well, they understood the negative effects of alcohol. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. What was the plan of these two daughters? Let's get our father drunk. Let's get our father drunk. Where did they learn that? They learned that from somebody else. They learned that alcohol clouds the mind and the judgment. Maybe they saw the men in town doing it. Maybe they had some friends that they ran with that were doing it. I don't know, but they knew that alcohol will get you to do things that you shouldn't do. And why we can't see that in our country today is beyond me. Noah is passed out drunk and he's naked. Why can't we see the negative effects of alcohol? And along with that, drugs. I'm hearing more and more news stories of how that marijuana is on the comeback. More and more states are legalizing it, and we do not get it. That it clouds our mind in our judgment, and it's also a gateway into other things. Cocaine and other things. And we are at an epidemic level. This is not from me, but from those who are in law enforcement and others. And we're doing things that we should not be doing when we're on those drugs. And alcohol is a drug, by the way. It's a suppressant. It dulls our sense and dulls our judgment. And we have it over and over again in the Word of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Stay away from drugs and alcohol, period. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whosoever erreth thereby. Lot erred with his daughters, but they knew that this would do it to him. Get him drunk, and he won't know who comes in. And the text says that he didn't know when his daughter came in and when she left. It clouds the mind and the judgment. And yes, we err. And it is a mocker. It puts us in a situation to be mocked. Look at what you just did. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath complaining? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine. They that go to seek out mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkleth in the cup, when it goeth down smoothly. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's how we got the children of Lot. That's exactly how we got it. And Isaiah 5:11, stumbling over wine. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine. But what does Paul say there? Wherein is what? Wherein is what? The older versions say riot. Some of the newer versions say excess. It gets us to do things we shouldn't be doing. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is riot or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We cannot be filled with the Spirit when we're filled with something that is clouding our mind. These girls understood the negative effects of alcohol. If we're going to get our father to do this, the only way we can get this done is if we can get him drunk. And that should tell us something about these things that we put in our body. But no, people keep doing it over and over again. And husbands and wives are getting beaten. Children are being neglected. Unwanted pregnancies, robberies, murders, thefts. All kinds of things are being done when people are high or halfway passed out. It changes our sober thinking. And we're doing things that we should not be doing. That's how we get the children of Lot. Well, as we close this morning then, how are you raising your children? How am I raising my children? God knew that Abraham would command his children. You've got Abraham over here in tents, in these dusty, dirty tents, okay? And you got Lot in this really nice town who's destroying his family. Abraham's over here wandering around in tents. But it's Abraham, Genesis 18, 19, that God commends. I know him that he will command his children after him, that they will serve the Lord. It's Abraham, not Lot. And so let us raise our children properly. And like Lois and Eunice, 2 Timothy 1:5, be the spiritual example to our children and raise them on God's Word, 2 Timothy 3:15. Be careful about the environment and the friends that they're in. And when they're real little, it's cute and there's not a big deal. But when the real little ones become teenagers before a few years, what environment are they going to be in? And it really starts preteen. What's the environment? Who are they going to marry? All of these things are extremely important. And what choices are we making? Moses said to the Israelites, choose life. Choose what is right. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We're going to serve the Lord. And I love the advice of Elihu. A lot of things that Job's friends say are wrong, but there's these glimmers of truth that come out here and there. But in Job 34 and verse 4, I love what Elihu says. Let us choose for us that which is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. I can't think of any better advice than that. And so as we make our choices, make those which are going to bring us closer to God. And as we're raising our children, raise them on God's Word. Make choices that will better your children. Choose an environment that will better your children. When it comes time to marry, talk with them about marrying those who fear God's Word. Always obey God's Word in front of them. Don't be like Lot's wife. Turn around, well, I don't have to obey. The children see that. Understand the negative effects of alcohol. Like I said, whether we have children here this morning or grandchildren or not, we can all benefit and learn from these points that come out in the slow downward digression that led to a father having a sexual relationship with his own two daughters. What a terrible thing. How low can you go? But there were things done to get to that point. Let us learn that so that we don't have those things in our life. If there's someone here this morning that needs to respond, come back from a low point. If someone needs to obey the gospel for the first time, or if someone needs to come back, maybe you've seen some of these types of things working in your life and you want to ask for the prayers of the saints where we can all help each other be strong. Let us be moral. Let us be strong. Let us be people of character so that we don't find ourselves in a cave somewhere, if not literally, find ourselves in a cave somewhere doing something that's just completely ungodly. Let's stay alert, stay vigilant, stay godly. And if we can help you to do that, if we can assist you in doing that, why won't you come as we stand and sing?